Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, as you know, as I've been telling you this week, we are going to be talking about a subject matter that perhaps you've had an experience with. I know I have, and millions of people around the world have. What is it? It's deja vu. My guest today is Marie D. Jones, and her associate writer, Larry Flaxman, is now with us. But you will have heard Marie on my show before because they had written previously a book, 1111, the time prompt phenomenon and the resonance key. Now, they had founded paraexplorers.com. They've been on all kinds of shows, including mine, and they really have an intriguing interest in the paranormal. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Marie, welcome to the show and welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back.
With all of the writing that you've done, and you and Larry have done so much research, what was it that prompted you to choose to narrow down your research on this experience we call deja vu?
Well, it's something that has happened to just about everybody. I don't think I've ever met someone who hasn't had deja vu. So we thought it was a really nice entree to other mind anomalies that we also talk about in the book, sort of a doorway to get inside the human mind through a common experience that everybody just sort of takes for granted, and yet there could be so much more going on than we really think.
Now, what for you? Now, someone may say deja vu. I've not heard about it. Now, there are some people that would not know how to relate to the word. What is deja vu in your definition?
Well, the word deja vu is French for already seen. And basically, it's the sensation of having seen something, said something, or done something before, but you know that you're doing it for the first time. So in other words, it's almost like a memory of a present moment experience, which is absolutely impossible, but that's exactly how it feels.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me share one with about my husband. In 1992, we went to the former Soviet Union, and we were in, I think we were in Minsk, and we weren't there very long, and of course, we were escorted to our hotel. We walked into the hotel room, and there was a picture to the right of us up on a wall. Now, it wasn't very big. It was like an 8.5 by 11. And my husband turned to me almost immediately after entering the room and seeing that picture. He said, I have been here before.
Right.
I have seen this picture. I know this room. And I said, that's very interesting. So he feels that he did some kind of mind travel that enabled him to be aware of it because he recognized all of the details in the picture, everything there. And this was not a picture that he had ever, you know, he just hadn't been there before. That's the very first time we'd ever been to Russia. So this was an experience he had. What is one that you have had?
You know, I have deja vu a lot. It seems to have slowed down ever since I wrote the book. Although, you know, that always happens when you're immersed in something. You sort of block out the experiences. I had one the other day, though, when I was typing an email out, and I just, this sensation came over me of, oh, my God, I typed this out before, these exact same words to this exact same person. I've had them mainly revolving around conversations. I could be with someone at lunch, and we could be talking about something, and all, you know, you get that feeling that comes over you. It's this weird sort of spooky feeling, and all of a sudden you feel very split. There's almost as if there's two of you. There's the one who's having the deja vu, and there's the one who's aware of the deja vu experience. But for mine, they're usually involved around conversations, and I can predict the next word out of the person's mouth you know, when I'm in the deja vu.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I liked a terminology that Anthony Peake, who wrote the foreword to your book, he called
right.
it like time dilation.
Right.
And I thought
right.
that was a very apt combination of words that describes fascinatingly well exactly what it feels like.
Yeah, definitely. Time does not operate the same. A lot of people have said it just completely slows down. Some people say it feels like it stops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just sort of feel like you've entered another dimension or an altered state of consciousness. You're still aware. It's not like you're having a dream. You're still very much consciously aware, but it's that sort of split sensation.
Yes. I've had it so many, many, many times, and I'll just go, okay. And I just let it go. You know, you just go, that's interesting. But you're right. It's as if you have already played through what you're doing, just like you mentioned earlier. And deja vu, where did it come from? Who first put that combination of word together?
Obviously, I think the experiences have been written about, you know, thousands of years ago. They just were referred to something differently. But a French gentleman by the name of Emile Boirac first coined the words in the 1800s. There was a lot of deja vu interest in the late 1800s, and it's continued to this day in universities, scientific laboratories. Believe it or not, it's probably the most widely researched of what we would consider paranormal phenomenon.
Oh, that's interesting. Why do you think that that has been so much the case, that it's so researched?
Well, because the scientists don't want to say that it's paranormal. To them, what they're trying to do is figure out, is this a memory glitch? Is the brain having some kind of weird neural slip-up? What does this have to do with memory and how we process and recall memory? So for the scientific community, it's not considered a paranormal experience, and yet for people who actually have the experience, it does seem to have these sort of very mysterious elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're
go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, it's opening up new theories and ideas, like, well, gee, you know, maybe you're having you're getting a glimpse of yourself in a parallel universe where you're doing the exact same thing with the exact same person at the exact same time. Maybe you're tapping into some grid of level of reality that you normally don't tap into, and that's why these experiences are so elusive. When they happen, you really can't make it last. It's almost as if as soon as you become aware of deja vu, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot make it happen. You have to just let it happen when it does. It's not something like meditation where you can actually sit down and have control over it. So there's two sides of the coin. There's the scientific brain-based research, and then there's all these new theories that are coming along simply because even though neurophysiologists can say, well, certain parts of the brain are involved, they can't really tell us why they're being triggered. What is going on? Why is it that you can just be walking along, look at a picture, and have this very intense experience?
I think there are so many stories that people have told. It's like George Patton when he was in Europe and is in a location in Italy, and he had a recall. He had deja vu, and then he actually had a flashback of you know, past life recall. But he said, I know this area inside and out. He just knew it.
Right.
And then he had the experience of actually seeing Roman legions and knowing who he was. It's like somebody opened up a mind door.
Right, exactly.
And he walked through it.
Right. And that's what's interesting is some people just have a very generic deja vu where, like I said, you could be at lunch with a friend and all of a sudden you get the sensation that you've had this conversation before. And that's it. Other people will either have what could be seen as a past life flashback or recall, where they feel like not only have they not been there, well, they have been there, but they've been there in another time period.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also have a future. You can have people who go into a deja vu event and suddenly they have a vision of something that's going to happen 10, 20 years from now. And it's almost like those experiences are attached onto the very basic deja vu that we all know and love.
Well, you have some interesting research information here, and Rick Strassman, who
right.
did a study in 2001, he's a psychiatrist at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine. Now, this was an 11-year federally funded study. I mean,
right.
this is pretty far-out stuff. Tell us what happened in that research.
Rick Strassman's research had nothing to do with deja vu originally. What it was experiments using DMT, which is, let me try to pronounce it, dimethyltryptamine. It's something, it's an alkaloid that's found in the human brain in very small quantities, but people may know more of it or get more of a sense of what it does. It's in ayahuasca. It's in different kinds of brews and potions that are made by shamanic people or native people to put them into an altered state of consciousness. It causes hallucinations. So basically, Rick Strassman was doing these experiments to find out what parts of the brain DMT affected, where did it come from, blah, blah, blah. And what happened is, sort of as a side effect, he found that a lot of the subjects were having deja vu. So the same parts of the brain that were being stimulated to have these DMT-driven hallucinations or visions, whatever you want to call them, would also say, oh, you know, and I had deja vu as well.
Fascinating. Now, you have a chapter that's titled The Memory Maze, and you bring up post-traumatic stress disorder, which
right.
so many people, whether they're involved with military and coming back from a war, this is something we have gained a greater understanding of. But in that research, in this section, you talk about how our memories alter.
They
and
do.
They change, and we may not remember something exactly the
right.
way it is. I mean,
right.
police will interview people after a crime, and they'll have five people seeing the same thing, and they've got five different kinds of reports.
Exactly.
I mean, this is something that's understood. However, you have a story in here that a Dr. Brunet took a patient
mm-hmm.
suffering from extreme PTSD. Tell us what happened when she was working with that person.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, I actually had to find what he did. He gave her a very low dose of a common blood pressure medication. It suppressed activity in the part of the brain that's associated with PTSD, and that's the amygdala, which is also responsible for a lot of fear and emotional-driven behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, that part of the brain processes emotion, and a lot of our memories have so much emotion behind them that it often, like you said, it alters them, it distorts them.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did is he worked with her. He had her listen. She was in a very bad auto accident, very bad, horrific. So he had her listen to a recorded recreation over and over again. She'd done this on her own, but, you know, didn't work. But this time, this particular drug that he had put her on, it sort of made a link between her factual memory, in other words, what actually happened,
mm-hmm.
and her emotional memory, her emotional reaction to it, what she remembered about that. So it literally changed the brain chemicals. It changed the way that she processed that experience. It changed her memory so that she was able, she didn't forget what happened to her,
mm-hmm.
but she reshaped the memories. So that they didn't cause PTSD. They didn't have, and this happens with rape victims as well, that you can reshape their memory so that it's not as traumatic. They still know that they've been raped. They'll never forget that, but they're able to live their lives and get on with their lives because that emotional part of the memory has been suppressed.
I think of neuro-linguistic programming and how that has created a pattern for so many people that has enabled them to do what you're just talking about.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and that's something anybody can learn.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's so many things about the brain that we don't understand, and the receptivity to the access to information
right.
that is operational at all times and all places with all people. So when we click into whatever that's going on, it can be absolutely amazing. I've known of people, in fact, I know of a fellow psychic, and she had the experience of being involved in a police case. It was a horrific murder. And she was given the opportunity to go out to the scene, and when she went into that environment, she was in it. And it was obviously all of the sensations communicated through the brain itself,
right.
but she was able to go through what you'd call a mind wall and permeate. And she said it was an experience she never, ever wanted to go through again.
Right, exactly.
And so you have people who have an inclination or a sensitivity and a receptivity, as this
right.
lady did, that sometimes if you don't know what's going on, it stimulates some fascinating aspects, good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
And you have, another story about a reporter, Jody Roberts, who disappeared in 1985 and was found 12 years later living in Alaska. You've got to tell that story. Because, again, we're talking about the deja vu, but your
right.
book incorporates so many different levels of
right.
research, how the brain works, the mind works, and the mind is not limited. It's not encapsulated in any way, but the brain is the processing center.
Right, and deja vu is just one of many anomalies that involves memory in some way, but the brain itself, we talk about other things in the book, thought and intention, the power of belief, but in this particular case, we were talking about amnesia and fugue states. Amnesia is basically, everybody knows what that is from watching soap operas, they always have some character that has amnesia. You know, something happens, usually a injury to the head, that causes some brain trauma, and you forget who you are and where you live, and it can be temporary. It can also be permanent. With a fugue state, it's a little bit different. People in a fugue state will often turn up somewhere else all these years later with a new identity, but it's a little bit more driven by them, not so much by the injury. In other words, you can get into a fugue state from psychological trauma. And in this case, there was a woman named Jody who disappeared in Alaska, or she disappeared in 1985, found 12 years later in Alaska, living with a new identity. She was Jane D. Williams. I think that's funny. It's kind of a play on Jane Doe. but the thing is that, you know, everyone who knew her had no idea where she went. They thought maybe she just took off for a while. She herself had no memory of anything that happened before the day that she, quote, unquote, disappeared. She had this whole new identity, this whole new life. And it doesn't happen to a lot of people, thank God. But I think that there are periods in all of our lives where we might have very brief fugues, very brief amnesias. We just forget things that we should know. The opposite of deja vu, by the way, is jamais vu, and that's not recognizing something that you have seen or done a million times. So that could almost be like a little tiny fugue that's going on.
Well, I think just about everybody does that.
Yeah, yeah. Some
really?
Of us just forget things. But
well,
but
no,
you
seriously.
That...
You get
oh, yeah.
some things you do repetitively, and all of a sudden you say, did I really do that? You'll go back and you'll double check. It's like turning
exactly.
the alarm on every day. Well, you
right.
know the buttons to push. You know exactly what to do, and so you're on automatic. You're just doing it. And you may honestly say to yourself, did I do that?
Yeah,
exactly. I'll go back and check. So I think that
right.
relates perhaps in a sort of silly way, but I think
well,
we all have those moments.
Perfect example is and I do this as a writer all the time, you'll see a word, and all of a sudden, it just does not look right. You can't recognize. It could be a word that you've used in your writing a million
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the word is conception. All of a sudden, that word will make no sense to you, and it can go
right.
on for a few minutes. It's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, you come out of it, and it's like, oh, yeah, conception. Okay, yeah, I remember that word. So is it just a little memory glitch, or are we kind of disappearing and vanishing somewhere else for a little while, maybe going into a little slip of consciousness or a little time slip, whatever you want to call it?
That could very easily be, because that has happened to me, and I know people that do editing that they know how they have to work, because if they see certain things so often, it's like, that doesn't look right. That can't possibly
yeah.
be right. You have to have a spelling unit.
Exactly.
There,
isn't that strange?
You look at it and you go, I know that's not right. That can't be right. And you look at it and the letters are all in the right place. But, the, you know, you just have seen it so much that you don't,
yeah.
it just doesn't look normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've personally experienced. I've known a number of other people that have experienced it. So mm-hmm. I think that's another good illustration. Let's talk about the brain and ghosts. Now, I've had personal experience with this. And when you actually see something that
mm-hmm.
is not supposed to be there,
right.
and you see it, you go, nah, that has to be my imagination. Or the experience is so vivid that you go, hello, okay,
right.
I'm wide awake, I am seeing this stuff,
yeah.
I'm not
it's
nuts,
right there.
It's right there. And then there are, you know, the other people will see it all the time. They're in
right.
that alteration of capacity, I'll use that word, and they're doing it, they just don't think about it.
I think everybody's brain, I mean, basically our brains are all the same, but everybody has a little bit different brain chemicals. Some people have more serotonin than others. Some people have more oxytocin than others. There could be little slight hormonal differences that may allow certain people to be more perceptive
mm-hmm.
of paranormal activity than others. And the thing is it's almost like once you see it, you will never again not see it because
mm-hmm.
you've created that new neural pathway in your brain that now recognizes that experience. But it's almost as if up to that point, it could be right in front of you and you won't see it. And that happened to me about a week ago, and not in a very paranormal way, but I couldn't find my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right in front of me, but I did not see them. And, you know, all of a sudden I turned my head and there they were. And it just really drove home to me how perception is so key. There could be things right in front of our faces that we are not seeing. We're not taking that information into the brain.
Oh, that's very true. That is
yeah.
very true. I've had that happen so many times, and I find that mm-hmm. when that does happen, that my mind usually is in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I am aware of this other direction, and I'm looking for something, and I can't see it because my
yeah.
mind is oriented in this other patterning. And then all of a sudden I'll go, okay, something's right in front of my nose. What is it? And I'll look at it, and I said, good Lord, how come I didn't see that tomato? That's what
exactly.
I've been looking for. But my mind's in another level, and
right.
it's not good or bad. It's just what we do, and it's so easy to do that.
It is. It's like those optical illusion pictures where you see the woman's face and you also see the hourglass. If you look at it for the first time, you might only see the hourglass. And someone will point out to you, oh, look, here's a woman's face on the side. Then you will never not see that face. But up mm-hmm. until the point that it's pointed out to you, it could be right in front of you, and you just are not perceiving it. And it's fascinating because, again, everything out there is information. And, you know, we're told that our brains only take in a very minute amount of the available information, and that's what we need to have for day-to-day survival. So what information are we not taking in simply because we don't need to survive?
You have a unique chapter in this book that I was fascinated with, and that is, and I'll just give its title, I Put a Spell on You. You
yes.
went into a lot of research on this, and this is not a joke. In many cultures,
no.
because of the way people are indoctrinated, if the witch doctor or the shaman or who the kahuna or whatever says this, da-da-da-da-da-da, all of a sudden they're affected. And
right.
there is that psychological
right.
play that's quite intense. What made you decide to put that type of information in your book? What prompted it?
We couldn't really talk about the mind without talking about the power that belief has on how we all perceive reality, you know, whether we're perceiving it correctly or not. And people's beliefs, I think, drive their reality. People who have very strong religious beliefs, they have a different individual reality than people who don't. People who,
mm-hmm.
again, you have natives that have these very superstitious beliefs where you can put a curse on them and they will believe that curse because you are an authority figure, you are a god, you are a deity, whatever. It just fascinated me, especially reading about what it had to do with placebo and the nocebo, the idea that you can cure yourself, you can heal yourself if you believe strongly enough, but you can also harm. And it just shows you how powerful our minds are.
That is a fact. I have
mm-hmm.
seen that in my own life. I have seen it in the lives of other people as a counselor, and it has to do with that subconscious level that when it gets into its little hamster's wheel
right.
of rotation, to consciously and mindfully be present that is happening is a humongous step, and usually it takes us a long time
right.
to be able to recognize that we're the ones that take the hamster off the wheel, which is us,
exactly.
and say, excuse me, not only is the brake on, but the wheel's broken. We are not
right.
going to go there anymore. And it is really amazing, and it's so easy to look at it with other people than looking at ourselves, which is not
exactly.
unusual either. But it is a fascinating phenomenon. It's a fascinating phenomenon when you think it can go back to just maybe one tiny little statement that somebody made when you
right.
were 2.5 years old. The
right.
mind is incredible.
Your subconscious will grab hold of that and not let go. And this is what drives cults.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, latching onto an idea, latching onto a belief, and not letting go, even if it kills you.
Mm-hmm. And it's so intriguing, and you'll ask yourself, why is it that someone will adopt this patterning? And sometimes it comes about because of a substance that's ingested.
Right, right.
That is something that has been discovered scientifically with many situations where they talk about the walking dead, and they will find that these people have been given a particular poison of a certain kind
right.
that affects
the zombie
system.
Drug.
Right. And that was only recently discovered, and that was a
yeah.
big secret among all of those that were utilizing it to control some other people.
Right,
so,
right.
you know, you have all of these variables, and you present so much of that. You talk about mind trips and time slips, and boy, those time slips are fascinating things. I love your quote that you have from Michio Kaku.
Kaku, right.
And that is, once confined to fantasy and science fiction, time travel is now simply an engineering problem. I just love that. Marie,
right.
your book is fascinating. You and Larry have done, again, a wonderful job incorporating multiple levels of what I'd call perceptions of
mm-hmm.
deja vu, the deja vu enigma. Now, your website is mariedjones.com.
Right.
And people will find what they need to know on that site about the book?
Absolutely. And Larry and I have our website, which is paraexplorers.com, P-A-R-A, explorers. So they can get all the information they need at either of those sites.
Well, that is awesome. Marie, as always, it's been a delight having you as a guest. The deja vu enigma, it's not just about deja vu. As you can tell from our conversation, there is a lot of provocative scientific research and also personal experiences that people have gone through that maybe most people don't talk about, but they do happen. So this is a book that is a good read, and I also think it makes a wonderful conversation. You will never be bored at a dinner party if you pick up this book.
There you go.
There you go. All right, Marie, again, thank you. This is Donna Sebo. Go to her website, mariedjones.com or paraexplorers.com, and find out more about the powers of the mind and the way they can affect not just how we live our lives, but that we sometimes have more choices about what we do and how we express ourselves when we become consciously mindful of what's going on. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And worldwide toll-free number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me during the next half hour, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Quickly, I want to let you know all of my passes, my free family passes, for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair are gone. But I do want to mention, if you do happen to come out, if you're in the state of Washington, I want you to come by and say hello anyway. I'll be in the booth with the giant yellow posters, the big red lions. It is weekend after next, and it goes for the first 3 weekends on the month of August, and it is going to be dynamic. So I hope to see you there, and again, all of the passes are gone. Now, by the way, I do want to encourage those of you that have had your own particular paranormal stories. You know, I was just talking with Marie about some of the things that people told her. Well, I'd love to have your story, because I'm putting together a book myself, and I'm trying to collect 100 stories. So maybe it's a deja vu experience. Maybe it is something with a past life. Maybe it's a dream that came true. Whatever it might have been in your experience, I'd love to hear your story, because it might make the difference for someone who's going through their own unique experience. So send it to me via email. Send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. That's Donna at Delphi, international.com. And be sure to put your contact information in there, because we will need that. And again, I would love to hear from you, because your story may be something, again, that is exceptional. I wanted to share some thoughts with you today. I know that many times life presents us with challenges, and we wonder, who are we when we go through these challenges? We often find out about parts of ourselves that we didn't really know existed. Well, there is a poet, Noah Benshay, that I really respect and appreciate, and he had this statement to make, and I thought I would quote it to you today, because I think it's very, very significant. Imagine your life as a wagon filled with everything you represent, one where you need horses. Now imagine that your fears, and your faith are those horses. Of course, all of us have more fears than faith, so let's say we have 11 horses of fear and only one horse of faith. If we put any of the horses of fear at the head of the team, they will be hesitant to lead, unsure of their capacity, afraid they'll not be able to do what is expected of them. But if you put the one single horse of faith as the lead, the horses of fear will follow. In fact, our fears, when led by our faith, will provide the strength to pull our wagon. The challenge for all of us is to put our faith and not our fears in charge. And I can remember not too long ago making a comment about faith to someone. I said, faith is different than religion. Religion, and this is me saying this, religion is man-made. Faith is something that you are naturally endowed with. And they said, oh, it's just all the same kind of stuff. I said, no, it isn't. There is something that's deep within the human soul and the human spirit that makes us aware that there is something greater than ourselves at work in this experience we call life. And as the poet said, if we take that lead horse, put the faith in front, then we can work with the fears that maybe we have grown up with, maybe we were taught, maybe we've gone through some horrific experiences, and we need to learn how strong we really can become. When you lead with the horse of faith, it doesn't mean that you're naive. It doesn't mean you're childlike. It means that you acknowledge that there's something greater in this experience of life, and you may or may not have the capacity to understand it. But if you trust, have faith, and you move forward, then you're going to be able to take those fears and develop them into disciplines that will serve you. You will find that you will not be the servant to those fears. You will find that you will be able to move past certain things. Let me share with you a personal experience that I had. I remember as a little girl being involved with a choir. I was involved in music from a relatively young age, and I had the blessing of a decent voice. And so I would be in choir practice, and I was often selected to do solos. Well, I can remember people telling me that you get nervous, and you're going to sweat, and you're just going to be so scared you won't even be able to get anything out. Well, when you're young, you really buy into that, don't you? Well, I can remember being up on stage, and I would just get these feelings inside my body, and I think, gee whiz, this is what people are saying. You know, I guess I'm really nervous. Well, it wasn't until I got into my 30s, and I started thinking more for myself, and I had been doing for like 10 years, a great deal of personal exploration and searching of my own individual identity, which I believe is a lifelong process. Regardless, one day when I had the opportunity to speak and I remembered all these feelings, and I remember when I was in front of this group, I realized it wasn't fear at all. It was adrenaline. I absolutely was loving what I was doing, and I had so much energy and so much excitement inside of me that it was all I could do to contain myself. I felt like I wanted to go 10,000 miles an hour. I just had so much I wanted to share. I learned that what I had been taught and told as a child was not true at all. That what was the nervousness was actually adrenaline and excitement and joy. So I learned, and I have to be consciously mindful of this, and when it comes in, just to take a deep breath and sort of breathe out a little bit through my mouth and say, I am just so thrilled to do this, but I have to calm down a little bit so that it'll come out not like a racehorse starting out of the gate, but with a smoothness. This was a discipline that I acquired, but I had to be open and I had to be receptive. And it was something when I discovered this, it changed everything. I enjoyed being in front of people. I enjoyed the environment of communication much more. I found that there was an energizing sensation. But as long as my mind had been locked into a particular attitude and feeling, that's what I carried forward. And that's what you need to remember, is that many things that you go through, and I just gave you my personal example, but you may have certain things that you find that really you're supposed to be afraid of, and you're not. You're not at all. But you've been told that that's what you're supposed to fear. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to respond. So we become copycats of so many things. So I loved his statement, and I just thought, what a great thought to carry forward, that we can look at our fears like horses, pulling our wagon of self, of life. But if we put our face in front, make that the lead horse, we're going to be able to shift things and make a difference. And we're not going to be going all over the planet in all kinds of confusion, because we're going to be able to focus. That's a powerful word, focus. Doesn't mean you're blind. It means you're concentrated, you're attentive, you're alert, you're aware. So, Noah Binshay, thank you very much. I think your words of wisdom serve us all very well, and the illustration is well stated, too. I really appreciate that. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat with me today. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I also want to let you know, this Friday, I am going to be doing an interview with Clear Artie. Now, Artie is just a great guy. He has a website, SRN, like Nelly, sport.com. And this is an opportunity that came to me. He is a fascinating man. And we're going to be talking about the psychic area. And you're welcome to join us. And all you have to do, and it's going to be about 2:10 in the afternoon Pacific time, and you can join us. It'll be before my show comes on the air on BBS. But if you're on the computer, why not flip over to srnsport.com, and you'll hear what we have to say. And there may be an opportunity for me to be on with Artie, as he likes to be called, on a regular basis, but we'll be letting you know about that as well. And there's some other programs that are going to be coming up, and as soon as I find out the details, I will be sharing them with you. Also, the newsletter is going to be coming out on the 1st of August, and I will be giving you details about appearances and happenings that are going to be going on, and that will all be right there. So if you'd like to get a free email newsletter from me, all you have to do is send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Well, I wanted to share with you the resourcefulness of a woman who was in some very dire straits. A lot of people are going through economic challenging times. Many industries have made severe cutbacks. A lot of industries are disappearing. We are in this tremendous cycle of change. This is not something new in the human experience, but whenever we go through it, when we're involved, it's pretty tough. So becoming resourceful, using our minds, using curiosity, being open to new ideas can be a big challenge. Well, Barb is a woman that was really going through some stress. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to this. I've had real rough times in my life, and by golly, if you're going through it right now, I know you'll be able to relate to her story. So let me just share a few details with you. She was needing a lot of money in the sense of just being able to pay bills. She said she couldn't go to sleep at night because what was going on is, how am I going to meet this bill? What am I going to do here? I can't feed my children. And her husband, for a while, was out of state doing work because he couldn't find work at home. It just wasn't there. And I have met some young men and women that are doing this exact same thing. They're having to go out of state for work. They are needing to keep their families wherever they are, and so they're taking work wherever they can get it. Well, she just was absolutely beside herself. Her husband's not there. She's feeling so alone. She's scared, and she doesn't know what to do. Well, this was in 2001, and she was living in Atlanta at the time. 9/11 occurred, and her husband, well, he was just having a heck of a time. In fact, he got laid off. Well, I'm going to tell you the rest of this story after we come back from break. Donna Sebo here. If you want to chat, 888-815-9756. You'll find out what this woman did and how it made a big difference with the family. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, let me tell you the rest of Barb's story. You know, there are options out there in life to work with. And as I said, her husband had gone out of state to get work. He wasn't making as much money as he had when he had been working at his previous job. She's at home with the boys. She is just sweating bullets because she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't even have money to buy groceries. Well, she went into her computer, and she was reading and posting on message boards of different types. She said, when I did this, I didn't feel like I was so alone. Well, one day she gets an ad, and this ad says, your opinion for cash. Well, how much junk do we get in our email? We get a lot of it. So she thought, oh, boy, this has to be a scam. But she decided she'd read through on the ad, felt that it was legitimate, and she decided to give it a shot. And for filling out an online survey, She received $100. Hard to believe? Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. She stopped to think about what had occurred. The internet is worldwide. It's 24/7, never gets tired. She got curious. Is there a way she could make some extra money to keep the bill collector away from the front door? Well, she stumbled in, those are her words, into mystery shopping. Now, that's where companies send spies, people like you and me, to evaluate a store or a service. And she said to herself, gee, I can do that. Well, she was sent a request to rate a restaurant. Well, my goodness, this family couldn't go out to a restaurant. Being a mystery shopper, she was able to do that. They gave her $50 to do this and paid for the meal. So she started doing surveys, mystery shopping, selling clothes, and even toys on eBay, as well as she was searching for freebies online. Now, she was not only saving money, more than she'd ever done before, but she was bringing in $800 a month. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but she said it was taking care of the bills that her husband's check couldn't cover. Now, her husband eventually was able to return home. They had to move to another location, but she had found in the process, during these very difficult times she had experienced, she was able to learn how to keep her head above a financial, you know, drain that they had, and she could paddle along very nicely. Now, she started a blog. It's called mom.com.net. That's mom.com.net. And she started putting out on this blog a regular newsletter, links to the latest internet sales. Before she knew it, she had new friends from all over the country, and she was getting wonderful responses. Most of them were women, and she went, wow, this I didn't think was very significant, but it's really making a difference for other people. Well, she ended up making a very good friend, a lady by the name of Maureen. Together, they decided they were going to write a book. It's called The Mom's Guide to Earning and Saving Thousands on the Internet. You can get it at Amazon.com. And she's now able to start college, and she's been involved with that because she wants to have a degree. She'd like to be able to make even better money. But she said, you know what? Our family's had to go through a lot of struggle, but I found there's always a way to make things better and that everyone can make a difference in the world. Now, I wanted to share some of these sites with you that if you're interested, you might want to explore yourself. You never know what options are going to come your way. Now, there's online surveys like mysurvey.com and American Consumer Opinion, and it's acoplikepaul.com. And they'll pay anywhere from $1 up to $200 for your opinion. Also, if you would like to be a mystery shopper, believe me, this really is important for a lot of businesses. And if you like fashion, if you like food, here are a couple places you can go to. You can go to gapbuster.com. That's G-A-P like Paul, buster.com. And then also the restaurant-cops.com, restaurant-cops.com. And all of this is significant because so many times with these businesses, they send out a manager or whatever. People know they're coming, and so they're on their best behavior. So these people doing this type of work are able to get the inside line on things, and they have an honest report. Then you can also write a blog. There are sites like ReviewMe.com, ReviewMe.com, PayPerPost.com, and MyBlogSpark.com. MyBlogSpark.com, that connect companies with bloggers, offering rewards, even cash for honest reviews. So there's a tip for some of you that maybe are at home. If you have a computer, this may give you an option. Male or female, it doesn't make any difference. You may have a way of making some extra cash. Well, this is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Stanton Friedman. His book is Science Was Wrong. Now, Stanton was a nuclear physicist. This man has been on every talk show in the country. He has just got such a background in science. But this is a fascinating book because it talks about how religion often is a form of science, or science is a religion. Let me reverse the words. For many people. And Stanton says, they often don't see what's right under their noses. So we'll be talking with him tomorrow. I invite you and your friends to join us. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Remember, there's always a way, as Barb said, to make things better, and you do make a difference in the world. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.